She wants chaos, uncertainty, the thrill of the chase. And when that thrill fades, she starts looking for something else. Hey, this is Pete. I sit on the couch, staring at the engagement ring on the coffee table. It's not the ring itself that bothers me. It's what it represents. 3 years of my life gone. 3 years of building something I thought was solid, only to have it crumble in a single conversation. I take a sip of whiskey, the glass heavy in my hand. The burn in my throat is sharp, but it's nothing compared to the ache in my chest. Amy left a week ago. She said I was too nice and too predictable. I still don't know what the hell that means. I thought we were happy. We had plans, a house, a wedding, a life together. My mom was already talking about grandkids. And now. Now I'm sitting here, alone, trying to figure out how everything went so wrong. I lean forward, elbows on my knees, and rub my face with my hands. I keep replaying that last conversation in my head, trying to find a moment where it all fell apart. She wasn't angry. She wasn't even upset. She just looked done. Like she'd already made up her mind, and I was the last one to know. I can't do this anymore, Pete, she said, her voice calm, almost too calm. You're a great guy, but I need more. I need something else. Something else. What does that even mean? I gave her everything I had. I was there for her when she needed me. I supported her when work got tough. I listened when she vented about her friends or her family. I thought that's what a relationship was supposed to be, two people taking care of each other. But apparently that wasn't enough. I grab my phone and text Rick. He's my best friend, the guy who's been through everything with me since college. If anyone can help me make sense of this, it's him. I grab my jacket and head out. The cold air hits me as soon as I step outside, but I barely feel it. My mind is too busy spinning in circles, trying to figure out where I went wrong. By the time I get to Tipsy's, Rick is already there, sitting at the bar with a beer in front of him. He spots me and waves me over. Hey man, he says. Rough week. You could say that, I mutter, signaling the bartender for a drink. Rick doesn't push, just waits while I take a long sip of my beer. Finally, I set the glass down and look at him. She said I was too nice. Too predictable. What the hell does that even mean? Rick raises an eyebrow. She actually said that? Yeah. I let out a bitter laugh. Like being a decent guy is some kind of flaw. Rick leans back, his expression thoughtful. I mean, it's not a flaw. But, I don't know, man. Maybe she was looking for something else. Like what? I ask, my frustration bubbling to the surface. I treated her well. I was there for her. I didn't cheat, I didn't lie, I didn't screw up. What else was I supposed to do? Rick shrugs. I don't know. Maybe it's not about what you did or didn't do. Maybe it's about her. People change, you know. Sometimes they don't even know what they want until they don't have it. I let out a long breath, the weight of his words settling over me. So what am I supposed to do now? Just move on. Pretend like the last 3 years didn't happen. No, Rick says firmly. You don't pretend. You deal with it. You let yourself feel like crap for a while, and then you figure out what's next. You're a good guy, Pete. Don't let this mess you up. I nod, but his words don't make me feel any better. What's next? I have no idea. All I know is that the life I thought I was building is gone, and I don't know how to start over.
Hey there, this is Amy. I sit on the floor of my new apartment, surrounded by boxes. The place is small, barely decorated, but it feels different. Lighter. Like I can finally breathe. I pull a stack of plates out of a box and set them on the counter, but my hands are shaking. I've been telling myself this is what I needed, that I made the right choice. But the silence in here is deafening, and I can't stop my mind from wandering back to Pete. Earth to Amy, Claire says, waving a hand in front of my face. She's perched on the arm of the couch, sipping a coffee she brought over. You've been staring at that box for 5 minutes. What's going on in that head of yours? I sigh and sit back on my heels, brushing my hair out of my face. I don't know. I mean, I know I made the right decision. I feel weird. Claire raises an eyebrow. Weird how? I hesitate, trying to put it into words. Like, I should feel relieved, right? I should feel free. And I do, kind of. But I also feel, I don't know, like I'm floating, like I don't know what's next. Claire sets her coffee down and leans forward, her expression soft. You're second-guessing yourself. No, I say quickly, shaking my head. I'm not second-guessing. I know I couldn't stay with Pete. I don't know how to explain it. Try me, Claire says, her voice soft but firm. I take a deep breath, staring at the floor. It's not that Pete was a bad guy. He wasn't. He's a good guy. He's kind, he's steady, he's everything I thought I wanted. But I felt like I was suffocating, Claire. Every day felt the same. Every conversation, every plan, everything. It was all so predictable. And I couldn't do it anymore. Claire nods slowly, waiting for me to continue. I started noticing it months ago, I say, my voice quieter now. When we were together, like, really together, I'd catch myself fantasizing about other men. Not anyone specific, just men who were different. Men who had edge. Men who didn't follow the rules, who didn't try so hard to make everything perfect. Claire's eyes widen slightly, but she doesn't interrupt. I know how that sounds, I say quickly, my cheeks burning. But I couldn't help it. I'd be lying there with Pete, and all I could think about was how predictable it all felt. There was no spark, no excitement. And the more I thought about it, the more I realized that's how I felt about our whole relationship. Comfortable, but passionless. Claire leans back, crossing her arms. You want a guy who's going to keep you guessing? Someone who's going to make your life a roller coaster. I shrug, feeling defensive. It's not about wanting chaos. It's about wanting something more. Something that makes me feel alive. I've always been drawn to men who are a little challenging, you know? Men who don't try to please me all the time. Pete was so focused on making me happy that it felt like he forgot to be his own person. I don't want someone who's just there. I want someone who makes me feel something. Claire nods slowly. But you know Pete's probably sitting in his apartment right now, wondering what he did wrong. He loved you, Amy. He wanted to build a life with you. I know, I say, my voice steady. And that's what makes this so hard. He's a good man. He's everything I should want. But I couldn't force myself to feel something that wasn't there. Claire reaches over and squeezes my hand. You need to figure out what more looks like for you. Because if you don't, you're just going to keep running. Her words hang in the air, heavy and true. I nod, swallowing the lump in my throat. I know. I don't want to end up alone, Claire. What if I made a mistake? What if I walked away from the best thing I'll ever have? Claire gives me a small, sad smile. That's the risk, isn't it? But you can't stay in something just because you're scared of what's out there. You have to trust yourself. I nod again, but the knot in my stomach doesn't go away. I know I made the right choice. I couldn't stay with Pete, not when I felt like I was settling. But now, sitting here in this empty apartment, I can't help but wonder if I'll ever find what I'm looking for, or if I've just thrown away the best thing I'll ever have.
It's been 3 months since Amy left, and I've been doing my best to move on. Therapy, the gym, nights out with Rick, it's all helped in small ways. I'm not the same guy I was when she walked out. I've stopped replaying every conversation, stopped blaming myself for not being enough. I've even started to feel okay. Or at least, I thought I was. Then I see her. I'm at a bar with Rick when I spot her across the room. She's sitting at a table with a guy who looks like he walked out of a biker movie. Tattoos cover his arms, his leather jacket slung over the back of his chair. He's leaning back, legs stretched out, like he owns the place. And Amy? She's leaning toward him, hanging on his every word, her eyes wide and bright in a way I haven't seen in a long time. I can't look away. It's like watching a car crash in slow motion. The guy barely acknowledges her, scrolling through his phone while she talks. When the waitress brings their drinks, he doesn't even thank her. He just takes a sip and keeps scrolling. And yet, Amy looks enchanted. Like this guy is the most fascinating person in the world. Rick notices me staring and follows my gaze. Is that? Yeah, I say, my voice tight. Rick whistles low. That's the guy she left you for? I don't know, I'll mutter. Maybe. Later that night, I'm standing by the bar when I feel a tap on my shoulder. I turn, And there she is, follow me. Her cheeks are flushed, her eyes glassy. She's tipsy, maybe more than tipsy. Pete, she says, her voice soft. Hey. Hey, I reply, keeping my tone neutral. I don't know what she wants, but I'm not about to make this easy for her. She hesitates, biting her lip. I wanted to say hi. And I miss you. For a second, my heart stumbles. I miss you. The words hit me harder than I expect. But then she keeps talking. It's just Chris, he's complicated, she says, her words slurring slightly. I mean, he's great, but I don't know. Sometimes I think about how kind you were. How easy everything was with you. And just like that, the moment shatters. I stare at her, the truth hitting me like a punch to the gut. It wasn't me. It was never me. Amy doesn't want kindness. She doesn't want stability. She wants chaos, uncertainty, the thrill of the chase. And when that thrill fades, she starts looking for something else. I take a step back, shaking my head. Take care of yourself, Amy. Her face falls, but I don't wait for her to respond. I walk away, feeling lighter than I have in months. For the first time, I see her clearly. And I know I deserve better.
Chris is everything I thought I wanted. He's unpredictable, intense, and makes me feel alive in a way Pete never did. When we first started dating, I couldn't get enough of him. The way he'd show up unannounced, take me on late-night drives, kiss me like he couldn't get enough. It was thrilling. Addictive, even. But now, 2 months in, the cracks are starting to show. Chris doesn't text back for days sometimes. He cancels plans at the last minute or just doesn't show up at all. When we're together, he's either glued to his phone or talking about himself. And when I try to bring up how I'm feeling, he brushes me off with a joke or changes the subject. I'm at the bar with Chris when I spot Pete, sitting with a friend. He looks different, stronger, more confident. He's laughing at something, his smile easy and genuine. Chris barely notices when I get up and walk over to Pete. He's too busy scrolling through his phone. I tell myself I'm just saying hi, but deep down, I know it's more than that. I need to know if I made a mistake. Pete, I say, my voice soft. Hey. He turns, and for a second, I see something flicker in his eyes. Surprise, maybe, or something else. But then his expression hardens, and I feel a knot form in my stomach. I miss you, I say, the words tumbling out before I can stop them. Pete doesn't say anything for a long moment. Then he shakes his head, his voice calm but firm. Take care of yourself, Amy. And just like that, he's gone. I stand there, watching him walk away, and I feel the weight of my own choices pressing down on me. I wanted excitement. I wanted passion. But now I'm starting to see the pattern. I chase the thrill, get hurt, look for comfort, get bored, and start all over again. I glance back at Chris, who's still sitting at the table, oblivious. And I realize I'm already growing tired of him. But the thought of going back to Pete, to that life of stability and predictability, feels impossible. I don't know what I want anymore. All I know is that I'm stuck in the cycle, and I don't know how to break free.
The phone rings, jolting me awake. I glance at the clock, 2:07 a.m. My first instinct is to ignore it. Nothing good ever comes from a call at this hour. But when I see Amy's name on the screen, I feel a flicker of something, annoyance, maybe, or disbelief. It's been months since I last heard from her, and I've worked hard to put her behind me. I stare at the phone for a moment, then let out a breath and answer. Hello. My voice is flat. No warmth, no emotion. Pete, she says, her voice shaky. She sounds like she's been crying. I didn't know who else to call. I sit up, already regretting picking up. What's going on, Amy? It's Chris, she says, her words tumbling out in a rush. We had a fight. A bad one. He just left. I don't even know where he went. I close my eyes, leaning back against the headboard. Of course, it's about Chris. I'm sorry to hear that. I say, my tone clipped. But why are you calling me? There's a pause, and then she lets out a shaky breath. I don't know, she admits. I needed someone to talk to. You're the only person who ever really listened to me, Pete. You're the only one who ever made me feel safe. I let her words hang in the air, but they don't hit me the way they used to. A few months ago, I might have felt a pang of guilt or longing. I might have thought this was my chance to win her back, but not anymore. I spent too much time untangling myself from her chaos to let her pull me back in. Amy, I say, my voice firm, I'm not that person for you anymore. What? She asks, her voice small. What do you mean? I mean, I can't be your safety net. I say, sitting up straighter. I can't be the person you call when things go wrong with Chris or whoever else you're with. That's not my role anymore. Pete, I'm not asking you to. Yes, you are. I interrupt, my tone sharp. You're asking me to pick up the pieces when someone else hurts you. Why should I? I've moved on, period. She's silent for a moment, and I can hear her breathing on the other end of the line. I didn't mean to hurt you, she says finally, her voice barely above a whisper. I know, I say, and I mean it. But that doesn't change the fact that you did. You made your choice. You wanted something different, something exciting. And that's fine. But you don't get to come back when it doesn't work out. That's not how this works. I don't know what to do, she says, her voice cracking. I feel so lost, Pete. I take a deep breath, steadying myself. Then you need to figure it out, Amy. Talk to your friends. But don't call me. I'm not your backup plan, and I'm not your emotional safety net. Pete, please, she says, and I can hear the desperation in her voice. I don't know who else to turn to. That's not my problem. I say, my voice calm but unyielding. I'm not going to be a part of this anymore. There's a long silence on the other end of the line, and for a moment, I wonder if she's hung up. But then I hear her take a deep, shuddering breath. Okay, she says finally. I understand. Goodbye, Amy, I say, and then I hang up. I set the phone down and lie back in bed, staring at the ceiling. There's no tightness in my chest, no lingering doubt. Just relief. For the first time in months, I feel like I'm in control of my life again. I loved Amy once, but I've learned that love isn't enough, not when it's one-sided, not when it's built on someone else's chaos. I deserve more than that. I deserve someone who values me for who I am, not someone who only comes back when they're broken. I close my eyes and let out a long breath. It hurts, but it's a good kind of hurt. The kind that means I'm finally free. A year later, my life looks completely different. For the first time in a long time, I feel like I'm living for myself. I've taken up motorcycle riding, something I always wanted to try but never did while I was with Amy. She wasn't into anything risky, and I guess I let that hold me back. Now I spend weekends on the open road, the wind in my face, feeling more alive than I ever did sitting on the couch planning a future that wasn't really mine. I'm dating again, but I'm not rushing into anything serious. I've learned to be upfront about what I want, someone who values stability and sees it as a strength, not a flaw. I'm not interested in playing games or trying to prove my worth to someone who doesn't appreciate it. I've realized that being nice doesn't mean being a doormat. It means being kind, but also knowing when to walk away. Confidence, I've learned, comes from pursuing my own interests and living my life on my terms, not from trying to make someone else happy at the expense of my own happiness. Every now and then, I hear about Amy through mutual friends. Apparently, she's on her second bad boy since Damon. I don't know much about him, except that he's another guy with tattoos and a reputation for being unreliable. When I hear about her, I don't feel anger or sadness anymore. Just a distant sympathy. I hope she figures out what she's looking for, but I know it's not my problem anymore. The truth is, I'm grateful for what happened. Losing Amy forced me to take a hard look at myself and what I want out of life. It hurt like hell at the time, but it pushed me to grow in ways I never would have otherwise. I'm not the same guy I was a year ago. I'm stronger now, more sure of myself. And I know that when the right person comes along, I'll be ready, not because I need them to complete me, but because I've already learned how to stand on my own.
I'm 40 now, and most of my friends are married with kids. They complain about their boring husbands and the monotony of family life, but when I see them together, they seem content. Happy even. Meanwhile, I'm still chasing excitement that never lasts. I've spent so much of my life looking for the next thrill, the next spark, that I never stop to think about what happens when the spark fades. After my third breakup in 6 months, I find myself sitting alone in my apartment, staring at the walls. The silence is deafening. I think about Pete sometimes, especially on nights like this. I wonder if I made a mistake, if I threw away something real because I was too scared of being bored. Pete wasn't perfect, but he was kind. He was steady. He was everything I said I didn't want, but now I wonder if he was exactly what I needed. I've been in therapy for months, trying to figure out why I keep making the same mistakes. My therapist says I'm addicted to the highs and lows, that I equate chaos with passion. She says I need to learn how to sit with stability, how to find excitement in the little things instead of chasing it in people who can't give me what I need. I know she's right, but knowing and doing are two very different things. Sometimes I wonder if this is just who I am. If I'm destined to spend the rest of my life bouncing from one short-lived relationship to the next, always chasing something I can't quite catch. I don't want to end up alone, but I'm starting to realize that if I don't change, that's exactly where I'm headed. And the scariest part is, I don't know if I can.